Off the Ball, GAA.
The game is much more progressive. It's been much more engaging for people to watch and more entertaining for supporters.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition, there's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.
All right, now we are absolutely thrilled to welcome our next guest, Sarah Healy, to the show. Sarah, good morning to you. How are you?
Good, thank you. I'm well. How are you?
What part of the world are you in?
I'm in Dubai, actually, at the minute. I flew out here after the day after I raced on Sunday, and I'm training here for a week.
So it's Dubai this week and then China next week for the world indoors, yeah.
Yes, yeah, that's the plan. We leave for China on Sunday, late Sunday night. So we'll be there on Monday.
And was there much crack had in the aftermath of winning a gold medal in the European indoors?
A little bit, but nothing too crazy, I guess, because I was flying to Dubai the next day and still have to train ahead of world indoors. But I was able to see my parents and some of my training partners and stuff and celebrate a little bit with them. So that was nice. But yeah, I'll probably have a bit more fun when I get home to Ireland in 2 weeks' time.
It's funny, Sarah, watching your obvious jubilation afterwards. I was just thinking, what a party that's going to be. And the temptation for us to be you'd go mad for at least a week, possibly even a month, you'd died out in this. But that's where the discipline comes in for you. Are you tempted to let your hair down completely and have a party immediately? Or does the muscle memory of the discipline and training kick in automatically without you having to think about it, despite this unprecedented victory?
I suppose I always knew, I was coming out to Dubai the next day. And I think the thoughts of traveling on a long flight, feeling a bit worse for wear I think that's enough to put anyone off. I think honestly as well, I just kind of wanted to see my family. I didn't really feel, the need to go too crazy. And I guess, we were all just quite used to this kind of lifestyle and getting straight back into it. But I think also the day after your race, honestly, sometimes no matter what you do, just feel like you've been on a mad night out because you've had no sleep and you just feel awful the next day anyway.
Does it feel slightly better when you've got a gold medal nestling in your bag somewhere?
Yeah. It's easier to handle it when you're happy. Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about the build up to the race and how you felt, because I think it sounds like listening to you in the aftermath, you felt like you were in the hunt for a medal from basically the moment you arrived. So can you talk to us a bit about how that kind of manifested itself in advance of the race and then as the race actually happened?
This indoor season starting out in start of February, I was over in America and I raced 2 3Ks over there, so I ended up running 8:30, which was a big PB, and it's the Irish indoor national record, so that was quite a big time for me to run, and I knew that would put me in contention for a medal at European indoors, so I was going in ranked second. I guess leading up to the competition, I definitely knew I was I would be in medal contention, and I raced a good 1500 as well, so I kind of knew that if it came down to a kick that I would probably I'd have the tools in that kind of race as well. It was a big opportunity for me, and I knew that going in, but I just didn't want to let that expectation kind of overwhelm me, so I was trying not to think too much about it. But I was healthy and I was in really good shape, and I think it's hard for all those things to align in the right moments. So I just wanted to make the most of it.
I talked to you about the race itself, Sarah. So I mentioned unprecedented and in the first Irish woman to gold medal in this event, but also the detail of the finish itself. It's an incredible jewel with Melissa Courtney Bryant right at the end. And it's so perfectly timed when you just go ahead of her. It's a perfect stride to just go over the line. And I wonder, could you talk us through that feeling that, did you know you had won right before you won, if that makes sense, just before you crossed the line. Can you talk to us about the feeling that was going through you internally as that was happening?
I actually kind of felt like I felt so good towards the end of the race. Like I really did feel like I could win, even coming into the last lap. And even though it was still so tight and none of us had really made any big moves, I was still just kind of waiting for someone to do something. I just kind of felt like I could, I had so much left. But then, yeah, I guess I really waited until the last minute. Yeah, I think I came up like on Melissa's shoulder, and I think there was probably like a moment where it was, she like kind of pushed like fought back and we were like neck and neck, but then I just kind of felt myself go ahead. And I think you do just know, because yeah, watching it back, I think I even like my arms kind of go up right before the line, which is like, I was like, oh my God, that could have ended terribly. and I'm really not one who normally, I never celebrate like that. I never do that. But it just like happened in the moment. So I think you just know. Like you just somehow you just know.
You had a race plan, but that went out the window. Am I right in saying, because the race was so messy?
Yeah. I mean, I suppose like it did. Yeah. Basically, well, it kind of did. Yeah. I guess my race plan was really just to run as smooth as I could and kind of cover any moves that were made. But I just didn't envision the race kind of going the way it did and being as tactical and messy. I really thought someone would kind of maybe start going for it about halfway in and really try and kind of break the field up, which probably, you know, would have suited me. And that's sort of what I thought was going to happen. But then when I got in the race, it was just so, so messy. And so I was really just thinking about staying on 2 feet and not falling over. And then, I also didn't, you know, I didn't plan on leaving it quite as late as I did. But I guess you just have to think on your feet sometimes.
And you're very much on your feet. Yeah, I mean, that's your reading in the year's moment sewn up, because it was just so perfectly timed. You would read loads of interesting quotes from you directly afterwards. And I'm always fascinated that with athletes, that like their heart and soul is poured out to us on TV like seconds after the race is finished, which is incredible to be that articulate. But one thing you said was, a younger version of me, our last year me, would have panicked and had nothing left by the end. Can you expand on that?
I think like just, in those moments, like, or during the race, there was a few falls and things like that happened really close to me, and I was not really in the position I wanted to be in. But I never kind of panicked, or even a few times I found myself way farther back than I would have liked, but I never panicked, and I never thought, oh, I can't do this anymore. I was always just kind of working my way through and getting back to where I wanted to be. In those moments, it's really easy to kind of panic and just start, even like that can change your breathing and kind of your like perception of your effort, and you can kind of just waste all this energy and drain yourself. And last year at World Indoors, that's sort of what happened to me, and I ended up having nothing left in the last like 30 meters of actually falling over. And I think sometimes, yeah, it's just when you're in a situation like that and you want it so badly and you want it to go perfectly, but then when it doesn't, you're just, yeah, you're panicking and you're breathing erratically and you're surging. Whereas this year I was able to just kind of stay calm and just be confident that I was going to be able to get to the front when I needed to.
So this sounds like a very basic question, but is it tough to train for the last 30 meters? Because I imagine you can only do that once per session, if that makes sense.
I suppose it's not like something we do specifically, but we do train really, really hard and push ourselves really hard in training. So there's plenty of reps where I'm completely all out the last 100 meters. So I guess we're doing that day in, day out. So I am totally used to the feeling of being like completely, completely exhausted, but having to push through, and almost like, to be honest, the training is a lot of the time harder than what we do in racing. So
can I ask you a little bit about how difficult it was to be so successful so young? Because you have an incredible double in the under 18 European Athletics Championships, where you win the 1500 and the 3000 meters. Did that bring a lot of pressure, or was that actually brilliant for you in retrospect? How do you feel about like the aftermath of that now?
It was amazing at the time. And I thought it did bring pressure, but I think I was pretty good at I sort of recognized at the time that, you know, people will say things like, oh, they're going to be the next big thing. And I think I even then knew that like that actually just meant nothing. And I was just enjoying what I was doing then and thinking about being a good, you know, being competing against the other under 18s. And my coach at the time, Owen, I think he was really good at keeping that perspective with me as well. And back then, like, I also still played hockey, so I was not super focused. I was never an athlete. I was never thinking, like, I don't think I was ever taking it more seriously than it needed to be taken. But I think the pressure kind of came a couple of years later when I felt like I hadn't sort of fulfilled that potential necessarily. But yeah, so I think at the time it was just great. I just enjoyed that aspect, that time. But then the last few years probably been harder when I felt like I've been underperforming a bit and maybe not living up to my potential.
Which is kind of impossible to do because, like, there's no alternative life that you could have lived. This isn't assimilation. You have to actually go through the things that you're going through.
Yeah, yeah. And I think, you know, every athlete has a different journey. You know, some people don't really have much success as juniors and then they really come into their own when they're a bit older. And yeah, everyone is different. And I think I've been really lucky, to be honest. And like, I feel like people have been saying, oh, you know, she's had so much disappointment, and I certainly have, but there's also people who've had it far worse than me. But I have learned a lot over the last few years, and luckily, like, I'm still pretty young. So I'm hoping that I can kind of take what I've learned in such a short space of time and hopefully have a very successful senior career going forward now.
You referenced the disappointments a couple of times in different places. When you say that, what's in your head?
I mean, the most recent would be the Olympics in Paris. They were definitely a disappointment for me. I come in running, you know, big PB. I ran 3:57 in the lead up to the Olympics and, you know, definitely felt like had potential to try and make the final there. And then I just, I didn't make it out of my heat. I was missed out of a place in the semi by one place. And then I ran the repechage. But just the way I felt there, I just felt completely drained and just like, I absolutely could not compete and I could not do what the other girls who were making the final were doing. And that had kind of happened to me. That was not the first time I felt like that at a championship. It's happened to me a good number of times over the years, over the last, you know, 3 years. They've just been big disappointments. It's hard to, you know, I've just had a few times at big moments like that where I've performed nowhere near my best. Cause it's easier to handle, you know, when you felt like, okay, you've done your best, but it just wasn't good enough on a day. Whereas I would get to these championships and just perform at a level that was completely under what I had been doing in the lead up.
And obviously finding out why is the big bit that happens next. Did you get an answer?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you'll never have an exact answer, and that's hard too, but it's obviously, you know, it's so much of it is mental, and so much of this sport and, you know, I guess middle distance running is really, it's a big mental game. So yeah, I think I don't have an exact answer as to what happened, but I definitely have more strategies in place now I've always been trying to find strategies, and then, you know, it's just a case of figuring out what works and just putting in things in place to try and make sure that doesn't happen and just to give yourself the best opportunity to perform at your best.
And sorry, I just on this, because I find it really interesting, is that like it's a part of it's just the maturity process of going through this and A-B testing things I did that time that I didn't do this time and things I did this time that I didn't do that time. Are you talking about in the build up to the race and like tapering and physical stuff, or is it also actually in the race recognizing that I'm just having a bit of a moment here and I need to ride it out as opposed to letting it affect you?
Yeah, it's definitely more in the race, and for me it's probably in like the day before and the day of. But yeah, not really anything, it's not really physical, to be honest. I haven't change my training. That's all been going, my training's been going great, you know, for the last year or two. It's just been the mental preparation probably, And then I suppose, yeah, within the race itself. But for me, I feel like within it's how I kind of manage myself the day of the race and during the warm up and in the call room. All of that is kind of really feeds into how I am when I'm actually racing. And I think if I can get the kind of immediate build up to the race right, then I'll be okay when I'm actually racing.
Coming soon to your Off the Ball podcast feed.
I'm nervous and police will use tear gas.
Yes. Oh, Jesus.
You're looking at two of the best professional wrestlers in Mexico City.
Saying we won after your team's won a football game is like saying I had sex after I'm watching porn.
So if you hear anything about the Gringo Loco, that's me, okay?
We were on our own at 3,600 meters.
We have that mark as narcos, cocaine, violence, as a Pablo Escobar thing.
To be honest with you, if I never see Route 40 again, I will be a happy, happy man.
Diverted, a 10-part Off the Ball original series telling the story of sport and other things all the way through Latin America.
I thought Route 40 was the most lonely road in the world. Turns out Route 25 is somehow even lonelier.
Available soon for free on the OTB app.
I have one last one on this then. If we had a time machine, forget for a minute that I said we're not in a simulation, right? But if we had a time machine and we're able to get you back to Paris 24 hours before, knowing everything you know now, would there be a different outcome?
Maybe. I'm not sure. With Paris, I feel like maybe the 24 hours, that would have still have been too late. Maybe the damage was kind of done already at that stage. I think, you know, the Olympics just bring with it like a whole other, you know, you try and play it down, but the Olympics are just the Olympics and there's no getting around it. And I think I probably had that one built up in my head for almost months leading into it. And maybe kind of had drained myself a long time before the 24 hours before. So yeah, I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that one, to be honest. That's just such a hard question. But I would like to think that by the time LA rolls around, I might have it figured out.
Was this gold at the indoors one from that different mental preparation, because it was a really calm and composed race that you ran? I know, like, even the evolution of your career, like 2022, I know was a, not even a turning point, but definitely an evolution, where after Munich, I think you finish up in UCD, you graduate there, and then you move to Wigan, isn't it? And you get a new training program and new trainers. And so the training level is really elite. And as you've already said to us here, sir, the training itself has been quite similar the last few years, but it's just mentally different. So you had physically everything you needed. Was this past weekend, when you do win gold, was it just you woke up on Sunday simply feeling really good and positive about it, or did you kind of just let the last year of the disappointments just go? Like, I'm just fascinated by that side of it too, that how did you win gold, because the physicality was always there.
Yeah, I haven't changed much physically or what I've been doing since like you said, moved over. I live in Manchester, but yeah, my coaches, they live in Wigan, and I physically was in great shape all of last year, just maybe not able to show it. But I think when I woke up, let's say on Sunday morning, it's not like I didn't sit there and think, oh, I'm definitely going to win gold and I feel amazing, or I'm out for, you know, redemption, anything like that. Any kind of statements like that just feel like pressure to me. So it's more just feeling calm and really just also being like, I'm gonna race well, I'm gonna do my best here, and I know I can race well, and I know I'm gonna perform well, but kind of being like at peace with whatever happens with that. And I mean, obviously I would have been disappointed if I hadn't won a medal, but I also was like, it's gonna be okay, and you know, you'll get over it. And I kind of just, like, last year I felt like I cried a lot of times over things to do with athletics, especially after Paris. And I just was like, this year you're just not going to cry about running again, because it's just not that big a deal. So that kind of helps me just feel more calm when I know that it's not, you know, it's not a life or death situation, and then I can just actually go out and obviously I really, really want it and it really matters to me.
Yeah.
But just kind of minimizing it a little bit like that makes me, helps me perform better.
Well, and was that the first time you had ever done that, made that approach? I'm not going to cry after the race this time or whatever. Like, is that the difference? Because I imagine underage level, when you're winning at so many at different age levels, maybe possibly the mental side of it isn't coming into it as much then. And it's only as you grow older, I suppose we all collect more baggage as we go.
Yeah, that's definitely it. I think when I was younger, I mean, I definitely got nervous when I was younger still. But I hadn't had any big setbacks. And so I would get really nervous, but I was always able to just perform. And then, yeah, it's definitely a case of that. As you get older, you just collect baggage. And over the last few years, I've definitely collected a lot of baggage, and I do really care about it. So when it goes badly, it has really upset me. And, you know, I've been devastated for it took me a good long while to get over some of the disappointments, especially Paris. And then it's hard because the more of those disappointments you collect, then the more nervous you are of that happening again. And so then I'd go into championships feeling, you know, so afraid of that happening. And then that makes you more nervous because, you know, the consequences are this utter devastation. Mm. So then this time around, it was kind of more just not putting as much emotion into it like that. And just, yeah, then it doesn't feel like as scary a task that you have ahead of you. And yeah, just trying, it's hard sometimes to have fun when it is a pressurizing situation, but just trying to have fun where you can with it and being grateful that, you know, you're there and you're healthy. And it is really cool that I get to do this.
Yeah. Well, that's so fascinating, the use of the word fun, because it's what you do. And it has to be fun for everybody, no matter what they do. You have to have an element of fun, otherwise you're going to lose your mind. And I wonder, does that help about it? This is like a therapy session that we're talking about. Like, how did this actually happen this time around? And I'd say that word is so crucial in helping every athlete relax in some way, is the reminder of why you got into it in the first place, because the stress certainly wasn't there when you started running. It couldn't have been.
Yeah, no. I mean, I do think I always got nervous. Sometimes when athletes say, oh, it's, you know, racing, it's fun, or have fun out there, it is hard because obviously, especially in my events, what I do involves putting myself into a lot of pain. And so it's hard to have fun when you're just suffering. But I do have a lot of fun in training, and I have a great training group, and it's a very, we train really hard, but it's definitely there's an emphasis on having fun and enjoying it too. And, you know, I'm not going to say I enjoy every aspect of a race day. I definitely get nervous. And sometimes you're there thinking why am I doing this? I don't want to do this. But just trying to, I guess, find the fun moments. And for me, just keeping it lighthearted, I try to kind of stay present and chat, you know, just chatting to people around me and about this, whatever it is, you know, in the warm-up area, because otherwise I can just kind of get too internally focused and start, yeah, getting too nervous. But yeah, I suppose it's not always all going to be fun. But yeah, just trying to see the fun bits where you can.
When you get success like you've just had, does that then mean that from now on all of those bad memories are exercised in many ways, and that actually that kind of resets the, now you can actually look forward, as opposed to, oh, there's a, I guess the mood music and the internal monologue changes, right?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I don't think there won't be just gone forever. And I'm definitely not I've sorted all this out, I have the perfect approach. It's definitely still a work in progress. But it just gives me confidence to know that I can do it, and I can be the person that, you know, pulls it all together on the day. And yeah, it makes me more excited to go into more competitions. But I suppose I wouldn't really want to forget all those bad memories, because I feel like I've learned so much from them. Mm. And definitely, I don't think I've got it sorted or I've got the magic formula, because I feel it's always kind of evolving. And I know I'm going to keep training really hard and keep getting better physically. And so I need to keep improving my mental game as well.
And so what happens now between, say, now in Dubai and LA in 2028, do you have goals mapped out for yourself, written down, that you want to achieve in the meantime leading up to that? Because I imagine, again, back to the word pressure, that you put yourself, one puts themselves under a lot of pressure if they're thinking about something that's 3.5 years away.
Yeah. I don't have things like necessarily written out like that. But obviously by the time LA comes around, you know, I will be thinking that way. I mean, I just want to keep getting better. Like I've won a medal at European Indoors. I want to win more medals at, you know, other European Outdoors or World Outdoors or World Indoors. And yeah, just keep getting better. But I also feel like I don't necessarily love like writing down a strict set of targets and goals, because I almost feel like they can, like I said, put pressure on this outcome, but also it's like kind of not limiting, but it's more just like, I just want to get better, get faster, and then go into races and, you know, feel like I can compete and then see where that lands me. Yeah.
Does the gold medal go through the conveyor belt at the airport separately? How does that work?
No, it just goes in my backpack. It's still with me. But no, it's all good. It's just through the, it just gets through security, all good.
Are they heavy? Because I mean, I suppose you heard as well, there's consternation over the Paris medals that they were of questionable quality in the end. They didn't last too long. There's a bit of heft in these Europeans.
I didn't actually hear that about the Paris medals, because I didn't have one, so I wasn't too concerned. Although I did, see two of my training partners won medals, or three, so I got to see those. But yeah, they're nice and heavy, and they engraved them, you know, like so fast. So it has my name and everything on it, which is nice. And yeah, it's nice to have it. Like I obviously have some underage medals, some underage European medals, but I feel like they're all in my family home in Ireland. But this one's like, you know, I feel like I've won it as a senior athlete now, and keep it with me in the UK, which is nice.
Oh, that's class.
You obviously have a little bit of friendly competition then with the training group, the M11 Track Club. What can you tell us about them?
So I train with it's M11 Track Club, and I've been with them for just over 2 years. But yeah, it's a really, really great training group. And we have, like Keely Hodgkinson, who's the 800 meter Olympic champion. And then Georgia Bell, who is the 1500 meter bronze medalist from Paris. So like, I could not ask for better training partners. And it's a really supportive training group. Like both of them were, I feel like they were so, so happy for me to win this medal. I feel like we're really lucky to have each other in training, because we all push each other, especially like we all have different strengths and stuff. So we can all push each other in different areas. And I definitely now just see them as people I can learn so much from. And yeah, I feel so fortunate to be able to train with people like that. Hopefully they like training with me too.
It's based in Manchester, is that right?
Yeah. We're based in Manchester, but we spend a lot of time not in Manchester, to be honest. We spend a lot of time in South Africa on training camp there.
And is there ever a world in which you think you could have stayed in Ireland, or in the future the next generation will be able to stay in Ireland and train at that level? Or do you think that just with the way athletics is such a globalized sport, you kind of have to get out?
No, I don't think so. I don't think you have to get out. I think I just think you need like the right set of circumstances. Like definitely there's enough, you know, facilities and everything in Ireland for that area that like I think you would be fine. Obviously I'm based in the UK, and like the weather is very similar, so that's why we are away in South Africa so much of the time. But I think for me, I left Ireland, I had a great coach, Owen Marnell, in Dublin, but I just left because I didn't have training partners. There wasn't other girls who were who I could train with, and I felt like I needed that to, if I was, you know, going to become a professional athlete, make it my full-time job, it would be too lonely to do it all by myself. And I needed people to like push me, to make me better. And so that was why I left. But like, I don't see any reason why you couldn't have a group in Ireland if you just had the right people. And there's definitely some really good coaches in Ireland as well. It's just kind of a circumstantial thing. So yeah, and I don't know. I mean, like, at the minute, I'm very happy in where I am. But you know, I would definitely like to move back to, like, I don't see Manchester as my like forever home or anything. So I'll be back. I'll be back to Dublin when I can.
How much of the year are you spending in South Africa?
We spend we'll go on three training camps, three there, and we'll spend about a month each time. And then we'll go on one or two other training camps as well. So yeah, I'm spending like up to about 4 months probably on training camp. And then during the summer, it's another, you know, and all of that is also travel. So it's a lot of travel.
Do you enjoy that aspect of it, or does it become a bit of a pain?
I mean, sometimes it is hard, to be honest. And like, you do just feel like you're kind of living out of a suitcase constantly and not really settled. But at the same time, I do. Yeah. I like being in South Africa, and it's like what it is, kind of like what you need to do. And obviously as well, you know, I'm lucky to be able to do it and kind of get to miss the whole winter. So yeah.
Yeah, winter
season. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Well, Sarah, congratulations. Enjoy Dubai and China after that. And hopefully we'll see you across the summer and ultimately in Tokyo as well. Thanks a million.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With Optimum Nutrition. There's more of you in you. Unlock it with the world's number one sports nutrition brand.